somebody. Amen. You may be seated. Good evening. It's good to see every one of you. Amen. Praise God. God is good. And all the time. So for the rest of you students, can we take out the effects on my mic? You're the ones who did not go out for spring break. Or you're the ones who decided not to stay in the dorm. I don't believe that everybody went for spring break. You know that some people, they tell you it's school work that I don't come to church. When it is spring break, they will see half, you know, it's rest that I don't come to church. Some students. But God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. Real quick, let me mention something regarding the giving or the different why we have this different methods of giving. Of course, it's to facilitate your giving, and I don't know why I'm addressing this. It's to facilitate your giving, but why do we do that? First, it is to facilitate, as you know, as you may realize, it takes money, a lot of money to run ministry, a lot of money. It takes a lot of money. Here we are very good stewards of the resources that we receive here. When you come, you look at the lawn mowed. It didn't just happen. There used to be a time I was the one mowing the lawn, then Pastor Victor, and it was, you know, do that. It took 3 hours to mow. You will mow from here and everything, then you leave from here with all the dust that you've inhaled and everything. You leave with allergies sometimes. But thank God that we have grown. Amen. Amen. Grown to where we can now pay people to mow it. So it's payment. Just love it. Come and see the place looking good, clean. Praise God. But I remember the time when we used to walk here sometimes. People would volunteer on the riding mower and just go and run on top of a tree stump. And they're like, oh, Pastor, the mower is broken. You have to take it and start going different place. But we thank God we graduated. So for those kind of things, those are repeated operations that we do, expenses that happen. You know, we hear the utilities and everything. So that's part of the reason why we first, if it's left to me, we can do ministry. We don't need money. If everything is paid for, we don't need money. We only do it on project basis. Amen. We only do it on project basis. If somebody had a need, and I mean, we'll just say, okay, this person has a need, we raise funds, solve it. Or we had an issue. But, you know, with the way things are, and in the modern life, you know, with the way things are, you need all the structure. You have to fund it. It has overhead costs. Thank God that here we all operate on a volunteer basis. Everyone here on a volunteer basis. Thank God a lot of our pastors and missionaries in different places, they also operate on a volunteer basis. When I say this, you know, when the cameras are on, it just restrains me from being able to talk a lot. You know, when I say this and people hear them, they can ask, so what do you do to these pastors that they just work with their whole heart and yet it's not for pay? It's because we align with mission-minded people. Well, people who, yeah, mission-minded, it's, you know, it's, we're aligned with mission people whose hearts are to serve the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean they don't have needs or ambitions for self-actualization. And it doesn't mean that we overlook that. But it simply means that in this phase where we are, everyone's heart is set to serve the Lord. And so that's why we do that. Then, so why all the structures, when we give like this, it helps us to be able to provide accountability first to you, because, you know, as a church, we do every year, and we haven't done it yet because we're waiting for authentication from our outside independent accountant, CPA. Every year, we present to you the budget, the church, what came in, what went out, what we have in savings, because we believe in transparency, praise God. And we do that here. And people have asked me, why do you do that? You don't. We do that just because, you know, we think it's important. And so when we do all those giving avenues, it's that people first have a chance to give. We make it easy for people to give. Then we also make it easy to be able to account to them for their giving, so that whatever they're doing with it, they're able to do with it. And in those regards, so I want to thank you all for all your giving and for all the times when you've stretched out your hands to support us in any way, shape, and form, whether it's in $1 or it's $20 or it's $1,000. It goes a long way. It goes a long way. A long way. You know, for those of you who are men, or for those of you who are in the hospitality team that you help to clean, you will find out that the men's urinary had having a problem for a while. The problem was solved today. It was solved today. And, you know, we had actually looked at the possibility that the aquarium here and I, we talked about the possibility of getting a flushing valve that is automatic and everything. I went today, checked it. It's $600 and something. I like, Lord Jesus. No way I'm spending $600 and something. But we were able to get something that works, and that works well. Praise God. Hallelujah. So just wanted to, like I said again, just touch on that real quick. Today, we'll be looking at the Word of God. If you notice, we talk about give me this mountain. And last week, we began to, this past Sunday, we talked about teach my hands to war. Teach my hands to war. In teach my hands to war, we simply said, why did God, who took the children of Israel into Egypt, God took them into Egypt. First, he took them by sending Joseph ahead of time. Then Joseph now brought his father and the rest of his siblings who had sold him, not knowing that they were doing the work of God. They had sold him as a slave. And so they took, he brought them all into Egypt. And they came there. And Egypt was good to them. For a lot of you, Egypt was good to them. Afterward, when they were leaving back to the land of promise, the place where God brought them from, God did not take them by the shortcut, the short way. So for a refresher, let's go back to what scripture? I know. For those of you, you write it down. When we say what scripture, that's when you start looking. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 17. So let's look at that. Then we will look at some other. But don't sleep on me now. I'll wake you up. No, don't worry. You don't need to know who I'm talking to. The person themselves. It says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, or Philistines, whichever one you call, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Lest the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. So God knows shortcuts. He's omniscient, right? He knows shortcuts, quick fixes. But God doesn't like quick fixes, because it does not train us for sustainability. Are you hearing me, somebody? God knows the shortest way to eat, whatever that eat may be for you. But he doesn't always work with that shortest way, because he wants to train us. Today we're talking about, today we'll be looking at something different, but still related. Today we'll be talking about structures for expansion. Structures for expansion. Structure for expansion. You know, it's a year of expansion, right? So, just in the same regard, let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse number 1. Numbers, chapter 11, verse number 1. And you will see this same pattern across the Bible. God knows how to do things quick. He's a miracle-working God. And I believe in miracles. But like I've said before, God did not create us to live by miracles or to depend on miracles. Now that may not sound very good coming from a pastor. God didn't create us or did not make you to live by miracles or to depend on miracles. Miracles are very good, very important. in our lives, and we cannot live without them. But God did not create us to live by miracles. And I give an example which I will repeat again, that, you know, if you had breathing problems like people had during COVID, you know, COVID came and attacked people's cardiovascular system, respiratory tracts, respiratory systems. So if somebody was under the attack of COVID and a lot of people had to go to the hospital to get ventilators. Now, if ventilators were not enough and somebody's system was attacked and they prayed for them and they are able to respirate on their own and they are able to do it with ease and all the pains are not there and all the other things that were associated with it. Is that a miracle? It is a miracle. Question to you, do you want to live like that every day? Okay. If your mortgage was due, or your bill, or your car note was due, or your tuition was due, we're going to touch on everything, or your cell phone bill was due, whatever, whichever one you are paying, and you did not have the money now, and there's this tension that you have to pay now. If not so, for those of you who are students or international students, if you don't pay now, they are going to cancel your visa. Or if you don't pay now, they are going to repossess your car, or they'll take over your this, or they'll cancel your line. Some of you actually need to get off your phone for a little bit. You don't pay now, they'll cancel your line. You're like, Pastor, they cannot cancel that line. As if you didn't get enough calls. So you don't pay now, they'll cancel your line, or this and that will happen. And you're under this tension. And just as at the last hour, after you've prayed with tension, and God just comes through for you, somehow somebody just calls you and said, where are you? He said, the Lord put in my heart to bring you this check. This check for $1,350. And that's exactly what you need. That's a miracle, right? You believe in that, right? You will celebrate that, right? The question is that how you want to live your life every day? No. No. That's not how you want to live. So God takes us through these places where He trains us. He trains us. But He's taking us to a place where it is flowing with milk and honey. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. The entrance of Your word gives light and understanding to the simple. As we look through the perfect law of liberty tonight, open our eyes, flooded with light. Help us to behold wondrous things out of Your word tonight, that we may be changed, renewed, and empowered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Verse number 4, now the mixed multitude who were among them, now see this, these people were people who were seeing miracles all the time. Right after the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, these were the people that God had taken through the desert, through the wilderness. He didn't take them by the shortcut, because training sometimes takes a long time. They encountered the Red Sea. They saw the miracles of God. They went into the wilderness, into the desert where nothing was growing. They saw the miracles of God. He provided for them food. He gave them everything that they needed. But every time, after every miracle, there was a complaint. Let me tell you this, miracles do not make believers. It can attract you to the things of God. It doesn't make you. Now, some people will believe. Some people believe because they see. Now I believe. But there's a word. There is something that happens bigger in their heart to keep them a consistent believer. Miracles attract people. Are you hearing me, somebody? So just imagine from verse 1 here, we read it says, now when the people complained, now we didn't even read what the complaint was. They complained and the Lord's anger was kindled against them. Then Moses prayed, and the anger went. Then right after the anger went, then they gave a name of the place. They named the place to think that they will not forget. Then verse 4 says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so that the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? They had seen miracles. Every day when they woke up, there was manna. There was food to eat. There was bread. They didn't have to work for it. Pre-made. Jehovah Shapshap, fast food, ready. Like McDonald's or whichever fast food you deal with this. Chick-fil-A. It was ready. Ready-made. Yeah, Chick-fil-A is speedy. You go through Chick-fil-A, it's speedy. It was ready. You gathered as much as you could eat for that day. Yet immediately they will forget real quick. So they began to say, who will give us meat to eat? When we remember, or we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. Freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Yes. You see, human beings have short-term memory when it comes to good. The good things. But that's not what I'm mad. Let me don't get distracted or sidetracked with these things. I want to talk about structures a little bit. So they remember that they said, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color was like this. So we're going to skip over all of that manna, the description of it. So after they said all of those things, verse 11, Moses went to the Lord. And so the Bible says, even Moses as a leader. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight? That you have laid the burden of all these people on me. Remember, we're talking about structures, right, for expansion. This year, the Lord has promised us expansion. Some of the... If you need sheep, they don't complain. If you mismanage money, they don't complain. But try with people. Especially in this advent of social media. You know, people are difficult to please. Have you realized that? Including you and me. Because we always have our perspective. So Moses began to pray. We're going somewhere with this. Because I want you to see where you fall in. Remember, we talked about give me this mountain and why God has not taken us through shortcuts and everything. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor on your side that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. So there was a place where Moses was always mindful that there was a place where the people were going. In the midst of it, they never lost track that they were going to a land flowing with milk, with honey, to a place that God has sworn to them. In the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the trouble, the turmoil, some of you, it is your family members, it is your friends who are complaining, and in the midst of all that distraction, and sometimes you get discouraged, you get this, it's like, you're doing your best. It seems like nobody is recognizing. Today you think you've solved these problems and more comes. As you think that you are done with this once, before you know, the new problems begin to pop up. I'm speaking to some people here now. So he began to say, where? So the people were hungry for meat. They began to complain because they have not eaten meat. But Moses first went, let's go back to verse 12 and look. Verse 12, he says, did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me You see, you would think that they would be weeping to God. No, they were weeping all over him. Weeping to their leaders. Sometimes your miracles or the solutions that God will give you, they will come and they will be disguised in the form of problems. They will be disguised in the form of problems. Like here right now, this church, we want to expand. Whether it is to expand numerically, to expand financially, to expand, structurally, to expand in our building, in our facility. You see, it comes with a problem that you are in a place where thank God for all we're doing. But not all the neighbors are always happy with us as a church. Oh yes, like I told you, we hear complaints. And that's why I tell you, turn the bass guitar down. The lights, you turn it on, and the parking door to provide security. Then there are people who don't like the lights because it's, and truly, it affects them. And some of those things is so that we don't sit down in our comfort zone. Are you hearing me, somebody? So you don't sit down in your comfort zone, and because you can get distracted and complain about everybody, but you don't see opportunities that God is bringing your way. So he began to ask, where am I to get meat to give all these people, for they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. If that is your situation where people, everybody is coming to you as a solution provider, instead of complaining sometimes, just thank God that you have that ability. That God, I thank you for the grace to provide. Start asking God for wisdom. We're talking today about structures for expansion. So he began to ask God, he said, why am I to get meat to give to these people? Then verse 14, he says, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me. So he became suicidal. Okay? He became suicidal. I want us to call it as it is. He became what? Suicidal. And like I've told you this, just because you're anointed does not mean that the devil will not come at you and that pressure will not come at you. Sometimes you need rest. Sometimes you just need help. Sometimes you need structures to be able to divest the burden away from you. So he began to pray. He says, if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. And this prayer for killing, he said, if I found favor in your eyes, in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. Kill me here now. I've told you, faith is not denial of the situation. It is not a denial. Faith is not denial of adversity that you face. It is confronting it, looking at it head on. And say, what is the way forward? But verse 16 is where it brings us to. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take off the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord send for you destiny helpers. Amen. May God send you people that will bear the burdens with you. Amen. But what basically is being shown to us here in the Bible is that sometimes when God gives a promise, there are channels that he wants to be able to fulfill that promise. There are natural actions that will help you so that you are not overwhelmed by the promise or by the vision that God has for you. Sometimes God brings people, or even in the midst of the people who are complaining, there is solution. Because all these people were crying. How would you have believed or imagined that among these people who were crying, give us meat, give us meat, there were 70 people there who could be of help to you to share the burden. Sometimes look around you. Look around you. Look around you. I've seen you as a pastor. There are people who come here who are headache. Oh, there are people. There was a guy. There was somebody who he felt that, you know, ministry was all about preaching. When he came here, he wanted to. In fact, let me share with you this one story. There was a guy who one day he came to church and he asked me. So he was helping. We just started at that time. He was like, "So okay, so what am I? I'm the church." And at that time, we're like six. Well, he said, "So what am I now? So what position? What?" I said, "Brother, we are all, we're not just brothers, we're believing God." Now you can imagine, he was doing his Master's of Divinity, and I was still doing a bachelor's degree in business. I was enrolled at that time in the Bachelor's of Engineering, and he was doing Master's of Divinity. So it seemed like, you know, he is. So he's like, so what am I now? So, okay. So I said, no, let's just continue the work, begin to see, then the Lord will see. And he kept bugging. So one day, we had to sit down and, of course, he became my associate at that time. I think he preferred more assistant pastor than associate. So one day, I mean, he had told me, you know, he could preach, the kind of people he had been sending me messages. So one day I asked him on a Wednesday like this to preach. On a Wednesday like this. And for me, if it is preaching that will hold you down, I won't do that. So, but when I just felt, okay, this guy has something to, and he had really had good things to offer. He could pray, he could lead prayers, he could do a lot of things. Asked him to preach on a Wednesday. I didn't know that offended him that I asked him to preach on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He didn't even show up in church that Wednesday. Yeah. So eventually we finished, I went to his house, my wife and I went to their house, me, his wife, and we sat down. He didn't come to church that Wednesday, and he did not come again. In fact, that was the last time he ever came to church. So when they sat down with them after some time, talked, don't try to imagine because you won't know. So talked, and he told me the message he had was one for Sunday, not, he had a Sunday anointing. Not Wednesday anointing. But I said all of that to say this to you. I said all of that to say this to you. Let's not get distracted. I said all of that to say this to you that there are people who, there's structures. There are people who sometimes, unfortunately for this brother, he didn't learn. And even till now, I can still see it happening in his life where he is. He's still going through the same thing. You know, still going through the motions. Now, there was another person here similarly who felt that, in fact, when we bought this place, and, you know, he was on the board of the church, and when we were going to move from where we were renting to go to a school, we're making an announcement in church all the time. We're going to move to a school. We need to downsize. We need to cut down on our cost, our expenses. Go to a school where we just use the school auditorium. And thank God, God had given us just favor with Tulsa Public School. And this principally allowed us to use the place and cut down on cost. And so it means that we didn't have all of these things. And we have to go set up, tear down. Every Sunday, set up, tear down. And guess who we're setting up? I did most of the setup. All of the setup. Sunday mornings. Set up, tear down. But the day when we're going to leave, this brother said, "Pastor, are you sure we're going to leave? If we leave, some people will not follow." I said, "It's not a problem. That's the direction we're going. Because if our plan is to buy, then we have to start cutting down on our expenses to maximize what we have." I'm going somewhere with that. I'm talking about structures. So, when they, you know, of course, he knew leadership. He used to read. He was also at ORU doing, not going to say what degree, so if he's watching online, but he knows, the person knows who I'm talking about. Was doing an engineering degree. Yes. But he was a good, very good reader. And today he's a pastor, doing very well. So when we came here, when we moved here, after he had seen all of that, you know, some people, they doubt until when they see consistency. So when we came here and everything, after some time, they felt that I was too, you know, because this is how Pastor Blaise speaks, right? It's not too jumping, shouting. It's not the charisma. It's not in the noise. It's not, you know. So it seemed like the anointing was not there. So they felt they could do well. So we had down, had some questions and everything. So by being entrusted with a ministry, the Lord called him for ministry. By being entrusted with a ministry, one day he called me and said, Pastor, now I see. Because why? On this side, I used to be a complainer. He used to think that he knows better, that he can do it better. Then he was given the opportunity. Then all of a sudden he realized that, you know, the grass always looks green when you drive. Always. When you drive by the road, the grass always looks green everywhere. Until you stop, then you find out that there are rocks inside that grass that looks green. And that somebody mows that grass. That somebody mows the lawn. Somebody keeps it. Takes good care of it. Yeah. So he says, then I would take down from you. So he says, select people, 70 people. So the point of those two stories was to say that who could have imagined that among the 70, among all those people, there were 70 people who could be leaders, who could bear the burden and share, who could be people that would carry the vision and the anointing and sustain it. For every problem that you have, there's a solution lurking right around you. For this vision of expansion that God has given us and told us it's a year of expansion. Even in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of pressure, if you just lift up your eyes and look around you, you will find out that there are structures you can put in place that would help you maximize potential that is around you. Amen. Amen. So the Lord said, take out 70 people and I will come down and I will talk with you. There I will take the spirit that is upon you and I'll put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Let's look at another passage of scripture in the gospel. So this is Old Testament, right? So let's look at Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Somebody say structure. Jesus, in the expansion of his ministry and the expansion of the work that was with him, he put in structures. He looked, and guess what? The people that he appointed, 70. Oh, yeah. Did you see the consistency? 70. And then 70, the next one we're going to go will be 7. And it wasn't planned. And I didn't even notice it until now that there were 70 before. He appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two. So there were 70 in numbers. He would have just left them all 70. But he broke them down to two by two structures. If you look around you, with the insurmountable pressure and difficulties and things you're dealing with, if you can break it down to the smallest fraction or the smallest particle, you'll find out that solutions are easier than you see. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, church?
Yes, sir.
Sister Mirabel, are you hearing me? Okay. Break it down. Are there problems that you face? Don't look at them all together. Don't convolute them. Just break them down. Are there big things you want to do? Don't just sit and look at the big things because you'll get overwhelmed. Break it down. Tell somebody, break it down. Create structures for expansion. That's why here, part of the things we're doing, you know, we announced about fellowship centers, right? So we're starting fellowship centers. And in the next quarter, we're going to launch them. If you're here and you want to lead a fellowship center, we're going to help you, train you, teach you how to be a fellowship center leader or a cell group leader. We'll provide structure. Why? So that we can achieve and attain the expansion that God has called us to do. Praise God. Amen. The same thing, even though we are here as a church, we have this building. We also have a building fund that goes on. You know, when you go into a giving app, you'll find out there are different categories of giving that goes on there. Because one day, opportunities, hear me, miracles happen when opportunities meet preparation. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said miracles happen when what? Opportunities meet preparation. When we moved into this building, it was a miracle because we could not in our wildest imagination buy it. We could not even afford the down payment. We were here when we were, how to call it? We were here believing God for the down payment while we're already here. We're here already. While we're here, inside here, using this place, we're believing God for the down payment. Trusting God every day. Praying. Sharing with the people. I remember when I shared with people that we're going to buy a building. We're going to buy this building when the Lord had given me a vision. Clearly, I could see that vision. I was in that vision. Me, Pastor Tim, I saw us hanging the sign out here. Church sign. Out on the building. We had a red sign. That sign right now is in Ibadan. Living what in Ibadan. Mommy here, when she came to visit, to bring Joel, took the sign back to our church that is there. Now they have it in their church. And we were just, and I saw that, I shared it. And some people just looked at me, they felt sorry for me. But you see, we had to also break down, sit down, we break down to see how can we do it in very achievable, attainable ways. And we began to do what we could do. You see, when you do your best, God does the rest. When you do your best, God does the rest. The thing is that sometimes we live for God to do what He has given us the ability to do. God will not do for you what He has given you the ability to do for yourself. Imagine I go and sit down now in front of food and I begin to pray. Father, as I pray now, let this food, let hunger go away in the name of Jesus. As I pray. You'll be praying there and feeling hungry. You'll be praying and gradually just pray. Pray for 2 hours, 3 hours. As you're praying, the hunger will be increasing. As the aroma of the food is the hunger will be increasing while you're praying. And before you know, you will faint. Because you've lost energy. You have depleted energy because you are praying for God to feed you when there is food. You have the ability to eat. All you can do is, Lord, bless this food. As I eat it, let it be nourishment to my body. Then you now dig into it. Amen. But if you decide to do a 3 hours of prayer meeting around the food, miracle food, you would die of hunger. So it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. What am I trying to talk to you? I'm saying about issue of structure. Don't mind, we'll flesh this more as we look into Sunday. Things that we'll do to be able to help us achieve. Don't look at yourself and minimize yourself that there's nothing you cannot do. Don't look at yourself. Among the 70 that Jesus himself appointed, right? Do you know who was among that 70? People like Thomas, doubting Thomas, denial Peter, betraying Judas was there. They were all there. He sent them out 2 by 2. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you one last scripture, which we'll flesh out a lot more on Sunday and in subsequent weeks. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Oh, I wish I had time to just really flesh out this the Luke chapter 9 before Luke chapter 10, but Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, now in those days, like today, when the number of the disciples was multiplying. If you go to Luke chapter 9, you will find out, he said, after these things in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. But if you go to Luke chapter 9, towards the ending of it, it was talking about the cost of discipleship. Someone said, I will follow you. And then he began to talk to them about the cost of discipleship. Began to talk to them about the cost of discipleship. It takes commitment to take down this mountain. But then yet he was able to break down, make discipleship. Although discipleship had a great cost, he was able to break it down by providing structures to where they could do it. Praise God. You know, sometimes we minimize the little things that is able to change our lives. We want to do the big things. And God is saying, do the little things well enough. Do it good enough. And the power will be magnified. Acts chapter 6. It says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, that sounds like a good thing, right? There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So while there was expansion, expansion came with problem. Expansion came with problems. Let's see how that problem was solved. Verse 2. Then the 12 summoned. First, why 12? Of course, we know those were the 12 who were appointed by Jesus. So you see, there was this structure. Then the 12 summoned the multitudes of the disciples. They were what? Multitude. Many. That's like convoluted. Some people just like to do everything they... you. Just address something in a coordinated. No, they will just go everywhere. So just, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, but it's nowhere. Pinpoint down. Then the 12 summoned the multitude. The multitude is a big number, right? Yeah. And then they said to the multitude, even though the multitude could solve the problem, they did not leave the problem for the multitude to solve it. Because if you left it for the multitude, it will not be solved. Because everybody will try to do everything and nobody will do anything. So then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, we have identified the structures that we can focus on. We have identified the major things that we can focus on. Verse number 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from outside. Oh no, some of you are not reading your Bible. It says, seek out from where?
Among
the specialist? No. Seek out from among you. The same place where all this quarreling and backbiting and fighting is coming. From among you, the Hebrews and the Hellenists. From among you who are complaining of the growth. From among you who are feeling the real impact and effects of expansion. Seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, hear me. Question to you. He says, seek out from among you 7 men. So they did not say, we are going to seek 7 men among you. Say, you seek out. So that was still meaning structures. So the multitude will have to sit down and say, I know they said they want 7. I don't know if I feature in the 7. But I know that Sister Esther, you know, she's good. She's not dramatic like that. So they gave criteria. 7 men full of the Holy Spirit, number 1,
yes.
And wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Whom we appoint over what? this business. Is it people who can pray? What was the criteria? Prayer warriors? People who can fast?
No.
People who are full of the Spirit. And this full of the Spirit was not that they were just, oh, hallelujah. No. No, this was people who were, because if you are full of the Spirit, you'll be led. See, the evidence of the being full of the Spirit is that you are led by the Spirit. You are able to get direction and you are able to follow the direction. Who are full of the Spirit. It's not people who pray now. The Spirit says. It's not people who are confusion and people who don't have direction. You know, sometimes the problem with us Pentecostals is we don't want structures. Just the Spirit blows wherever He wills. So, Pastor, my Spirit is telling me today to go this way. I'm saying it a lot here. You know, people go, Pastor, the Spirit told me that I am a core member of this church. Then 2 weeks later, Pastor, the Spirit told me that, you know, the Spirit is not Oklahoma weather. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Spirit is not what? Oklahoma weather. One day it is spring, one day it is winter, one day it is summer. No. So it says, seek out among you 7 men full of, first, it's a good reputation. Good reputation. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Somebody say structure.
Structure.
So, there are structures that will ensure expansion and sustainable progress in your life, in your affairs, in this church, in the city, and it is not confusion. Are you hearing me, somebody? These are things that are tangible, they are measurable, you can see. Let me ask you a question. The Lord said it is a year of divine expansion. How would you know if you expand if there is no structure? What is your reference point? You say, okay, Pastor, I want to increase in wisdom this year. What are you starting with? How would you know? How would we know that you have increased in wisdom? Or how would you even know that you have increased in wisdom? Okay, I want to... Yeah, that's a typical answer. I will feel it. No, but thank you. No, but that is true, right? And they give that answer sarcastically because that's what people will say. I'll feel it. And that is true. But that is now only the answer for people who don't want to increase. Because that way nobody can measure your increase. It's like, okay, you say you want to expand this year financially. At least you know where your account is. You know where your finances are right now. Structures. So that at the end of the month, end of the year, end of the quarter, you can sit down and say, I was here. Now I'm here. You shall expand to the north, to the south, to the front, and to the back, to the left, and to the right. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's a promise to us. But we've got to create structures. As a church, let's take stock. Where are we? Look at our Wednesday service. How do you know that you've expanded? You would know, right? So, let's do that. So that's the purpose. One of the purposes why we're having the fellowship centers. On Sunday, we'll be meeting right after service with those who have indicated they want to be fellowship center leaders or they want to be hosts. We'll be meeting right after service to talk so we can start rolling down some of those things, implementing this wisdom and see where God takes us to. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the same thing we're going to be doing with you. We'll have financial seminars. We'll have different kind of seminars here or different kind of things that will help us to have measurable, tangible progress and growth. Praise the Lord. Without much ado, let's rise to our feet tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Have you been fed tonight? Have you received the word tonight? For some people, this is not anointed. It's just, it's very anointed. Very anointed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody lift up your voice to heaven. Let me tell you this, the miracles you're looking for are right around you. They're right around you. The solutions to some of the problems that you face, they're right around you. Just look around. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Is there adversity? The answers are right around you. Just lift up your voice to heaven as you pray. And as you pray, may the oceans go ahead and serve communion. Just thank him for, Lord, give me wisdom. As you fill me with your spirit, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom and direction to know the kind of structures to set, oh God, for my sustainable progress this year. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice to God and just pray. Oh, Shabahantalariba Soto. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, give me wisdom and grace. Give me wisdom and grace this year, Lord. Give me wisdom and grace this year. We worship you, Father, tonight. Give you praise.